You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Americans work too many hours for not enough pay. According to our guests, they say we need to turn that around.
Now the way we eat is changing. Instead of the old formula, protein plus two sides, we're more inclined to think of meals as something more flexible and subject to how much time we have or what we feel like eating. Sheet pan dinners are one example of this, where the protein and the vegetables and the sauce are all roasted up together, or there could be a couple of smaller dishes plus a salad.
Thing is, most cookbooks aren't really written that way. They're generally divided up into the appetizer section, the soups, the salads, the entrees over here, and the desserts back at the end.
Melissa Clark is out to make dinner a little more reflective of how we eat now. She's in touch with a network of home cooks through her job as a food writer for the New York Times and the author of several cookbooks. Her new book is called Dinner, Changing the Game. Melissa, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Well, you say that there's a void between what we think of as a proper meal. This is the idea of the protein and then a couple of sides, and what we actually want to cook and want to eat for dinner. Why do you think there is that gulf between the two?
You know, I think that people are so used to the meals that their moms made, which might have been great, you know, but a protein and two sides, it's only one way that people can eat dinner. There are so many ways to eat dinner. And I think we get trapped in that route, just, you know, thinking about childhood and also thinking about what's around us culturally. But there's so many different ways to enjoy your food. And I know that when I go out, and I think this is true of a lot of people, we mix it up. You know, we'll go out to dinner and we're not afraid to order two sides and four appetizers and no entree at all. Or maybe we'll split it three entrees between, you know, six people and then get a bunch of desserts. But at home, we feel very much like it's not a proper meal unless we have the three distinct piles on the plate. You know, your steak, your mashed potatoes, your peas. And there's nothing wrong with eating that way, but it is limiting. And what I wanted to help people do was break out of those limitations.
And how do you do that? How do you get us to eat a little more flexibly and to not worry so much about the composition?
Well, first of all, the most important thing is to really focus on what you want to eat for dinner. You know, I think a lot of us don't think about what we're hungry for. You know, we kind of ignore our bodies and we just think about what we should eat. So step number one for everyone is, what are you hungry for? You know, maybe you're hungry for just a giant head of cauliflower that is roasted in the oven at super high heat till it gets all crunchy with tons of chili sauce all over it. And you pile that on a big bowl of rice sauteed with shallots. That's delicious. And that's dinner. That can be dinner just as much as anything else. Of course, in the book, you know, in the cookbook, I have 220 recipes for, you know, an expansion of what we think of as dinner.
When I think of this idea about letting there be lots of maybe little things or just one star thing, it reminds me a little bit about how my kids prefer to eat. They like there to be lots of interest and different focal points and not just one star, like a turkey on a table. They'll usually care less about that turkey, but they're more interested in the little things. And those are the things that we eat. Is there something there that reminds you of being free to eat what you want to be and being free of these rules, maybe the way a kid thinks of eating?
It's true. You know, a kid is not afraid to take her chicken nugget and dunk it right in her strawberry jam. You know what I mean? They're very free that way. And we'd be horrified. Like, what are you doing? You're not supposed to do that.
Uh-huh.
But if you think of the Thanksgiving, like you just mentioned, turkey and cranberry sauce is actually not that far off. One way for people to expand their choices on the dinner table and their experience of eating dinner without doing any extra work is to buy condiments. I am a full believer in having a fridge full of delicious condiments that will last for a really long time, so they won't go bad and will add interest to your meal without you having to do anything. For example, kimchi. You know, kimchi is something that is not that hard to find. It'll last for months in your fridge. And just a little bit on, put it on a salad, put it on your steak or your chicken nugget, and it transforms the meal without you having to do anything other than, you know, think ahead and buy it.
Right. You have a whole bunch of suggestions about those things that can amp up the flavor profile and help us cook in new ways. You named one, kimchi, harissa is another, garlic chili paste. What are some of the others that you think we should stock up on?
I think pomegranate molasses is a great one because it's very inexpensive. It is incredibly delicious. Pomegranate molasses tastes sweet and tart at the same time. It's got a fruity flavor, and it lasts forever in your pantry. It doesn't even take up fridge space. So I'd say invest in a bottle of that. And if you can't find it, here's a trick. You can take pomegranate juice, you know, regular old palm that you buy at the supermarket, and cook it down until it's really, really sludge. Like it looks like molasses. It should look like molasses. And then you can store that, store that one in your fridge. That will last forever. Put it in any salad dressing you make. A few drops if you want a sort of sweet sour taste in a dressing. You know, if sometimes people put honey in their salad dressings, think pomegranate molasses because you get the sweetness, but you get so much more.
Well, let's talk about one of your recipes, and this is one there will be a link to on the Central Time Facebook page as we talk right now with Melissa Clark about her new cookbook. It's called Dinner Changing the Game, and you have a recipe for harissa chicken with leeks, potatoes, and yogurt, and this is this idea of a sheet pan dinner. Everything is on the one pan.
Don't you love having fewer dishes to clean up after you make dinner? That is what one of my big focuses when I'm thinking about what I want to make for dinner is how few pans can I use to get there. And a sheet pan suffers great because you throw everything on the same pan and you put it in the oven and it cooks at the same time. So when you pull that sheet pan out, you have caramelized leeks, you have tender, crunchy edged potatoes, and you have gorgeous chicken with crispy skin. And then on top of that, that has all been marinated with a harissa, a chili paste spice mix. And then you add yogurt sauce right on top. And yogurt sauce, by the way, is something everybody should know how to make. Take yogurt, add salt and chopped garlic, and you are done. And it just makes everything taste better. So that's the kind of meal, one pan, super easy, but so delicious. I serve that for dinner parties, not just for after work.
So how long does a meal like that take to cook? So people are busy, and when everything's on the one sheet pan, definitely your cleanup is easier. How about the prep and the cooking?
Well, you know, so that one does take a little bit of time in the oven because, you know, you've got your chicken and your potatoes. So it won't cook quickly. But the good thing about it is that you won't need to do anything while it's cooking. You can go and you can, you know, help your kids with their homework. You can answer some emails. You can wipe up, you know, the kitchen or whatever you want to do. And so it's free time. So I don't mind things that take, you know, maybe 40 minutes to cook as long as you don't need to stand there over the stove stirring.
Right. I feel exactly the same way. Once it's in there, I'm okay with it. It's just getting it in there. Well, you have another recipe. You've got it divided up, by the way, into, you know, instead of appetizers, soup, salads, entrees, you have it divided into chicken. You have, that's your first section. And then you have steak and red meat. And there's an egg section and a tofu section. I mean, it's very different this way of thinking about it. And in your fish section, you have a recipe for fish tacos. And this is one that's really popular right now, fish tacos. A lot of the time, though, the fish is fried, which can be messy. It can take a little while. How did you approach fish tacos?
You know, I love fish tacos so much, I would eat them every day, except that I don't want to fry them. I just don't. I mean, I love cooking things in the oven that normally you would fry because, you know, it does use a little less fat, but that's not even the real reason. It's because it's faster. It's, well, not necessarily faster, but it's easier in terms of cleanup. It's easier in terms of you're not standing there, you know, watching everything fry. So you can do other things. And I really think that for something like a fish taco, you know, for something like a French fry, I think frying it is actually worthwhile because you're getting this incredible crunch. But for a fish taco, you're placing that fried fish, or in this case, this baked fish that is crunchy on the outside, and you're putting it in a taco. You're putting it in a tortilla. You're putting different salsas on it, right? You're putting maybe some shredded cabbage or some lettuce on it. You're putting kind of wet stuff in there, so it's not going to stay crisp very long anyway. So I really feel like the experience of eating it, you get some crunch because you are roasting it at high heat, but the experience of eating a fish taco is all the different textures. And so you have, you know, the freshness from the salsa, you have the heat, you have the tortilla, which should be warm, and all of those things still make for an amazing meal, and it's just so much easier.
Your house
won't smell like fried fish, which is always a plus.
That can be a plus. Melissa, do you have a favorite recipe in this cookbook?
You know, I don't. That would be like asking me if I had a favorite child, although I do have a favorite child because I just have one. So she is my favorite. But no, I don't have a favorite, but I have a recipe that I want to tell everybody about because I'm afraid they're going to overlook it. It's for pan-fried Brussels sprouts and halloumi cheese, which sounds really weird, and it tastes so great. Fried halloumi cheese. I mean, who doesn't love fried cheese, right?
So it's Wisconsin you're talking to.
The cheese gets a little bit soft on the edges. It is crispy. It is so tasty. And then with the Brussels sprouts, which also get browned, and they turn very sweet when you cook them at high heat, the whole thing is so good, extremely unusual, and takes about, I think, 14 minutes to make. So fast, easy, unusual. You can probably get all of the ingredients in your local store. If you can't find halloumi, you can substitute another kind of firm cheese. So that's a winner, and I'm afraid, people might skip over it. So don't. Try it. Tell me how you like it.
Well, it's Wisconsin, so it's not hard to sell fried cheese here, so that's a plus.
Use cheese curds, exactly. You could totally use cheese curds recipe.
As we wrap up, you say that cooking dinner should be one of the best, most pleasurable parts of the day. It shouldn't be rushed and stressful. How do we make it something that's that pleasurable?
It's all about giving yourself permission to enjoy it. Take 15 minutes, make sure that you've carved out that time as your time, and make that your dinner prep time, and put on your favorite music. Open a bottle of wine and drink it while you're cooking. Be in the moment and really enjoy the process. And don't be distracted. Don't think about work tomorrow. Don't think about all the other things that you need to do. Spend those 15 minutes just doing your thing. I mean, if you love to cook, there's no reason why you shouldn't at least enjoy cooking dinner, at least some of the time.
Melissa, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Melissa Clark is a food writer for The New York Times and the author of several cookbooks, including her newest, Dinner Changing the Game. She'll be speaking in Madison on Thursday night at 7:30 at the Madison Central Public Library.
Coming up, the latest in an occasional series on the future of work in America. Our guests say Americans should work less and get paid more. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.